You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC with your host, Dirk Norris.
New Mexico Filmworks is a program of the New Mexico State Film Office brought to you by the generosity of Hutton Broadcasting. Today I have Jacques Paisner and Lisette Paisner from the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival here. Later we'll be talking to Peter Kershaw on the phone, who has one of his movies, 20 Ways, in the film festival, as well as an entry in the New Mexico Filmmakers Showcase. We'll start out with Jacques and Lisette, both director and director of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, right, Lisette?
Yes, festival director.
Festival director, okay. And Jacques, you are the executive director and co-founder.
That's correct. Thanks for having us, Dirk.
Absolutely. Wonderful to have you here. So Jacques, give us a little bit of your background, and then we'll get a little bit of Lisette's background.
You know, I am the author of Albuquerque Blues. That was published in 2007. I'm writer-director of the feature film Rejection. That was 2009. And I've been executive director for the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival since 2011. That was last year. Before that, I was called director of the festival, which is what Lisette serves. I also serve on the executive board of the Santa Fe Rail Yard Community Corporation.
And Lisette?
Well, I'm a recent graduate from UNM. I graduated summa summa at a history, New Mexican history, this year recently from UNM. And I've worked in different organizations, Southwest Literary Center and Recursos de Santa Fe. I've also worked with IOTSI, and I've worked with the festival for the past 4 years. I am Jacques' sister, in 2008, I did direct the Santa Fe Writers Conference, the Women's Writers Conference of 2008.
Oh, terrific. Was that New Mexico Women in Film?
No.
Separate group.
It was part of Recurso Southwest Literary Center.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. I gained a lot of experience of how to work with conferences and how to keep things organized and, you know, make sure that everyone has a really special and intimate experience when in Santa Fe.
Important background to have for doing a film festival.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to mention also that Lisette was born and raised in Santa Fe.
Terrific. And yourself, I know you went to high school here.
Yeah, well, I went to elementary school here. I graduated from Santa Fe High in 98 and did a philosophy degree in 2003 at UNM. So, you know, Santa Fe is very much my home, even though I was born in Minneapolis.
Oh, right, right. And when you went to high school, were there any film programs being offered? Did you take any?
There was a media type of class, and I was in something called ACAT at Santa Fe High, where we, really designed our own program, and media literacy and film were a huge focus. So, I've been at this quite a while.
Right, right. The director and I were just over at Capitol High School yesterday and talked to the teacher that runs the film program over there. And it's interesting to see there's a number of the schools in Santa Fe that have film programs for high school students, and just the interest that's being generated. And she was saying that she had a number of her students that want to go on and go to, like, NYU Film School, and hopefully they'll stay in New Mexico.
And I know Capitol High has a really serious program. I've heard great things about that. We're really working a lot this year with Santa Fe University of Art and Design and their MOV film department. And Chris Ayer and Paula Amanda have been just instrumental in, helping us do this great youth outreach program with the interns.
And you can read their blogs on SantaFe.com. We're having them watch some of the movies and blog about them. And it's really kind of training for film, to be film critics and to look and find out about story and learn about independent films and some of the films they can watch and be like, I could do that. and they start to get excited about it. And it's a really fun way to get all of them excited about it. And it's a fun way to bring in the college here and get them excited about the festival and get excited about movies and independent movies and learning about everything.
Right.
And then they get to have their blogs on SantaFe.com, which I suggest everyone should check out. They're really great, really strong writers, and they're they're pretty young, and it's really cool.
So how did this come about?
You know, we asked the Santa Fe University of Art and Design for some interns. Jacques and I went to a class, and a lot of them just have been coming to our office, and we let them watch the movies, and they blog about them. They help us out in the office, mm-hmm. and we really wanted to give the interns something that they could have an impact in the film community. So blogging about the films is something that gets their name out there, and they can take, when they go home, you know, in the winter, they can say, look at all the cool stuff that I did in Santa Fe. Look at how I got to have an impact in Santa Fe and impact the film community here.
Right.
Yeah, and can I mention quickly that we're doing something similar with Monique in the Santa Fe Community College.
Right.
On Wednesday, leading up to opening night of the fest, which is a film called Sunkissed, certain students from both schools will be screening films in front of film professionals, including John Moritsugu, Alton Walpole, Peter Kershaw, and receiving feedback on their short pieces. And so we feel like that's a great learning process and something really special we can offer the community.
Absolutely. That's terrific. So what kind of feedback have you been getting from the interns and being exposed to these movies?
They're enjoying it. They're having a lot of fun. I mean, we have some of our students that are from Spain that are here for the semester. They're blogging in Spanish, but they're also blogging in English, so it's really helping them, you know, understand. Some of the movies might be a little bit wordy, but it's really helping them understand the language and understand American films and then also foreign films. And they're you know, just having a good time watching them. And, I mean, I don't think that they'd come back every – I mean, we have them twice a week. We have interns coming in and out of the office, and it's just really fun. And, you know, they get to enjoy the movies and, you know, get to see them before other people get to see them and get to really tell people about these movies that might impact them. And
Do you find that your international interns have a different sensibility about film than American film students?
You know, not so much. You'd have to read their blogs. They're beautifully written. But you know, they understand what an independent film is. And they're really enjoying them and enjoying, you know, learning about different aspects of it and seeing, you know, we have some New York films that we're showing them, and it's showing them different parts of America and showing them different parts of Santa Fe and with the local films and things like that. It gives, we have a wide variety of films, so we have a lot of international films, so it's not much American.
You know, these are film students, so they've seen everything, whether they're whether they hail from Japan or Spain or wherever they come from. They are very savvy and very schooled in film geekdom, for lack of a better term.
Well, it's great they have that experience. Jacques, tell us about the film festival. It hasn't been around that long, and how did it come to be?
Well, this is the fourth year, and we started the festival as a like slam dance type of fringe fest. And over the years, you know, it's really grown to be the standard for what a film fest can be in this part of the country. And we've really kept the fringe element of it. You know, we have looked at the Edinburgh Fringe Fest as well as the Independent Film Festival of Boston, which are really started as fringe fests and then became really the standard in the artistic area of influence they were in. So, I mean, it's been such a rapid growth over these 4 years where, you know, we went from starting the film fest with the idea of showing just a few films to, you know, having huge screenings the following year and finally to packing the Lensic last year. And selling out the Lensic is, you know, really a goal that we were so proud to achieve.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a gorgeous theater. It was built in 1930, opened in 1931. Our office is in the old ballroom that's been converted into office space.
Right.
And this year we're doing three nights at the Lensic, which is just something huge for us. Bless Me Ultima on Thursday with Rudolfo Anaya signing books, and Benito Martinez and Luke Gannelong, the stars of the film, introducing the film. And then Saturday night, we're doing Funeral Kings with Mike McGarry and Matt McManus, the producer and director. They're introducing the picture.
Great.
That's like a Stand By Me. It's also been compared to Superbad. It's a kind of a youth rebellion picture. We're very pleased to be showing it. It's been called the best picture of the year. And then Sunday, we have Tiger Eyes, which is based on the Judy Blume novel and directed by your son, Larry Blume. And Judy Blume will be in attendance. And, you know, just those three events we feel like are so powerful. Plus, there's an entire week of other events. We partnered with Farm to Table in the county for a week of food and film. Mm-hmm. And we'll be showing a film called Eating Alabama at the screen with a reception catered by Bon Appetit. There's just such a good week, such a good program this year, and it's going to be such a fun week, and we're so excited.
We also have some art programs. We have Bone Wind Fire with the director here, and she'll be doing an art exhibit at George O'Keefe Museum. And in that same program, it's a shorts program called Art Therapy. We have Kevin by Jay Duplass. And Kevin, the subject of the film, will be in attendance as our resident musician. So that's really fun.
Terrific. It's a whole week of a lot of activities, and we'll talk more about that in the next segment. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back with Jacques and Lizette. Back, you're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and I've got Jacques and Lizette Paisner. Yes, there is a relationship, brother and sister, right? Involved with the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. Jacques, you were talking about the three films that are going to be shown at the Lenzik, and including Bless Me Ultima, which a lot of people in New Mexico were a little upset to see that it was shown in El Paso first before it was shown in New Mexico. But I guess there was reasoning behind that and getting kind of a marketing baseline.
Yeah, I mean, I read a little bit about that in the Albuquerque Journal, but I don't know too much about the choice to open it in El Paso. Rudolfo Anaya has said that he thought it was cool, so I will certainly defer to him on anything as the, you know, great literary hero of the state.
Right.
But also I should mention, you know, we're doing four different venues, including the Screen, CCA, and Warehouse 21, who's the fiscal sponsor of the fest. And, you know, we're so excited to work with a community center like that that supports the youth, because, you know, supporting the youth is what any organization should really look to, because that's, you know, what is sustainable from here on out.
And that's what Warehouse 21 is kind of about, right? Is the
certainly they're a youth community center.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the rail yard.
Yeah, it's one of the buildings in the rail yard.
Yeah, you're on the board of the rail yard community.
Yeah, I'm on the executive board of the Santa Fe Rail Yard Community Corporation.
Right,
and that's a very cool thing, because, you know, we've seen where the rail yard has come in the past 10 years, and I'm working with such a great group of people on that that I'm just so honored that I can represent the rail yard. And you know, I love Santa Fe. I've grown up here, and it's very special to me.
At one point, there was talk about having a studio built at the rail yard. Yeah,
the Mask Entertainment.
Yeah,
that was Steve Perry. Now the rail yard is building a movie theater,
but uh-huh.
It's no longer attached to the post production studio.
Okay.
We have a sponsor that's Stepbridge Studios. That's Luca and Edgard and some other friends, and they're been instrumental in helping us with that type of thing. They're going to be giving away ADR packages to the winning filmmakers.
Great.
You know, we were also partners with High Desert Digital, mm-hmm. you know, which is another post-production studio in the city. So I think, you know, Santa Fe does have these facilities, and just getting the word about them out about them to filmmakers is a very cool thing.
Right, absolutely, and a lot of talent here. So the combination of the two, the facilities and the talent, makes it a wonderful place to be a filmmaker and to show films and that sort of. So is that some of the programs, the workshops and so on that are going to be going on with the film festival?
Yes, we have some fantastic education workshops. We're also collaborating with New Mexico Lawyers for the Arts, and they will also be having panels at CCA during the festival. This year, some of our highlights are a screenwriting panel with Ron Bloomberg, Judy Blume, and Lawrence Bloom. So that's going to be really fun. We also have a production panel with Alton Walpole and John Hendry, among others, I believe.
I think our own Toby Ives is going to be one of the panelists.
Yes, right? Toby Ives will be on
from
it.
From the film office.
And we're very excited about that. I think that's a very special panel with all stars in New Mexico that really know how to get a movie done, really know how to raise money, and know a lot about production in New Mexico. And
did you mention that Chris Ayer will be hosting a master's discussion? Yeah, that's very cool. We love Chris. He's just a brilliant, brilliant filmmaker. I thought Skins was like the greatest vehicle for Graham Greene that I could have possibly imagined. And he's going to be so cool. The things he does with those students, the way he teaches filmmaking, and his expertise is just, you know, A1.
Another asset to have him teaching film, as well as being able to produce films, make films while he's teaching at Santa Fe University of Art and Design. So another good get for Santa Fe, I think.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about kind of the basic philosophy behind having a film festival. What is it you're trying to accomplish?
Well, you know, it's to create a meaningful experience for Santa Fe and the community, plus the visitors to Santa Fe in film, not just networking in the business side of it, but in the exhibition of independent films.
What is that?
You know, I think it's also bringing films to Santa Fe that normally wouldn't be seen here. I think Bombay Beach is a great example. It's something that's really near and dear to Santa Fe with the music of Beirut. But because of how independent film works, sometimes it's never played here in Santa Fe with a theatrical run. So it's really nice to have something like that, a vehicle where you can see a movie that you might not be able to see any other time.
Right.
You know, something like Funeral Kings. It does have a distributor, but it's a small distributor, and you might miss out on such a great film that, you know, is compared to Stand By Me. Which, you know, it doesn't get any more flattering than that for a movie. And we will have the directors there, and, you know, you get to meet the directors, and you get to see this film that, you know, should be seen by everyone and is really great and really special and had a big impact on all our screening team. And we're bringing it to Santa Fe, and that's just something really special to be able to bring something to the audience in Santa Fe and bring it to the community and give people something to do. In Santa Fe, we've had tons of volunteers that are brand new to Santa Fe, and they're like, we just want to figure out something to do. We want to meet people. This seems like a good vehicle to do it. And it's just really exciting to see other people get excited about something like this.
Yeah, and if somebody would like to volunteer, they can write to info@santafeiff.com.
And what is the website?
The website is santafeiff.com.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing like discovering a film that's just a wonderful independent that you would not have seen somewhere else. I think that's so cool. What are the chances that any of these films are picked up by distributors? I mean, do you invite companies to come in and see
some,
these films?
Some of them have already been picked up by distributors. But the way we are is not a film market like something like Sundance. We're more like a destination festival like something like Telluride, where we're on the festival circuit, which begins in January, February with Sundance in Berlin, and then continues and, you know, really reignites again in the fall with Toronto, Telluride, and the Lincoln Center. And we're right on the heels of that at the same, you know, the same week as Imaginative and the Austin Film Fest. And we feel like being on that circuit and at the end of it like that is very cool because it gives Santa Fe our own voice in what the future of independent film is.
Well, I think everybody appreciates the hard work you guys put in because it's a year-long effort to bring this 1 week of films to Santa Fe. So we appreciate it. I appreciate you being in the studio today talking about it. One more time, where can people get more information?
You can go to SantaFeIndependentFilmFestival.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You can call the office. It's 349-1414.
And tickets are still available.
Tickets are at thelensic.org or the Lensic box office, and it's 988-1234.
Thank you so much for coming in. You've been listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and we'll be right back. We are back. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this is New Mexico Film Works. You can hear this show streaming on Talk 1260 KTSC Radio by going to SantaFe.com and clicking on the live stream link. You can also hear this and previous shows on podcast by going to SantaFe.com and clicking on the podcast link. And right now I have Peter Kershaw on the phone. Peter's an international award-winning filmmaker with over 100 screen credits to his name. And he teaches producer and director students as an adjunct professor at Santa Fe Community College. Welcome, Peter.
Nice to be here.
And we just had Jacques and Lizette Paisner here talking about the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, and one of your films has been accepted into that film festival, 20 Ways.
That's right. We're playing on Thursday, October 18th at 5:15 at Warehouse 21 in one of the short programs as part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival.
And how did this come about? You just submitted it to be shown, or was there a discussion?
It was a combination. I think Jacques was aware of the film. We started screening, as you know, in August. We started doing film festivals at that time. And also, one of our actors is actually one of the volunteers for the film festival. So I think there had been verbal conversation about that. But then we submitted the film. But as I say, Jacques was already, I think, aware of the film before they came to the selection process.
Right. And it was entered in the White Sands International Film Festival.
That's right. We started in the Albuquerque Film Festival, and then we played down in White Sands, those two in August. At the moment, we're playing, obviously, in Santa Fe. We're also playing in St. Petersburg in Russia. And we're also, on the 13th of October, we're playing down in Chile.
Wow. And you're also going to be showing in the New Mexico Filmmakers Showcase, if I can put in my own plug.
And indeed, yep. On October 14th, the Sunday at 5:30, we're playing as part of the showcase, which obviously we're very much looking forward to, and I'm going to be attending.
Terrific. That's great. Do you get any kind of feedback from film festival officials on your films, or do you get audience feedback?
That's a good point, and that's something that will be more helpful. And in fact, funnily enough, this morning, what I was actually working on was a proposal for one of the classes that I'm teaching out at the college that actually I want to get some of the students to come and do some screening, go to some screenings and do some analysis from a director's point of view of the advantages of film festivals, what you take from it, why would you submit to it? Because we've been doing a lot about, in fact, I'm actually talking on a panel during the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival on the Saturday, set up by Lawyers in the Arts to talk about distribution and distribution models, because as you know, the whole world is changing. All the models are changing.
Right.
Everything we knew is no longer the case. So you know, the importance of festivals, the nature of festivals, you know, that's very much under discussion. You know, why would you submit? They're often very expensive and you know very costly. So all that kind of thing is under discussion at the moment. But no, after a couple of screenings, I've had emails from people, but you know, you always want to know, and you very rarely actually hear what the audience think.
Right, right. So what is the advantage of entering a film festival?
I think there are a number of reasons why you do a film festival. I mean, firstly, for me, everyone who's been involved in the film, 20 Ways was shot here in New Mexico, entirely cast crew, the whole process was done here. So I'm very keen for people who are involved with the film or supporters of the film, as well as the cast and crew, to actually to see the film. So playing in festivals across the state gives a chance for them to actually see the film and to see it on a big screen.
Right, which is certainly a different experience than seeing it on YouTube.
As you know, entirely, yeah, because it's and the film is shot, like 20 Ways was shot, using a lot of historic lenses, and we spent a lot of time in the cinematography of the film. So you kind of lose that on a TV screen or on a small computer screen. So there's advantage to seeing that on the big screen. So that's one. I think secondly, because it was made here in the state and had support from the state, it's good to give people in New Mexico a chance to see, you know, what's going on with the industry and what's going on with independence. So that's very good for here. Mm-hmm. And then I think in terms of playing internationally, I mean, it shot in English, but I have an entire Spanish subtitled version of the film. Okay. And Chile is the first festival to actually play the Spanish version of the film. Mm-hmm. I'm very keen for it to play in Spanish-speaking parts of the world, so I'm sure. Very happy about that, because I think they'll have a different audience reaction to it. And then I think internationally it's really good to fly the flag for New Mexico filmmaking, you know, because every time you submit it, you know, it says New Mexico as the film. You know, right. This is where the film's from, New Mexico. So it's kind of good globally, just as a small marketing thing for the filmmakers in the state to be playing in other parts of the world.
Yeah, it's you're almost an ambassador.
Absolutely. I think of it very much that way for filmmakers here, especially for independents. Whenever anyone who's an independent here shows a film outside of the state, even in other states, you're mm-hmm. kind of saying, look, you know, New Mexico is lively and vibrant, and this is the kind of thing we've got going on here.
How would you characterize the independent film industry in New Mexico?
That's a very good question.
Besides lively and vibrant.
Well, I think it is. I think it's actually, you know, I think there are two industries here. I think that there's obviously the main Hollywood and television industry that employs a lot of people and is very, very important to maintaining a crew base within the state.
Sure.
But also there are a lot of very good actors in the state, for example, if you look at just from that side, but don't necessarily get leading roles mm-hmm. in terms of films and television. You know, they tend to be still from L.A. actors, and so our actors tend to be very much in the supporting cast. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things for me in terms of working with actors is very important as a director. So I'm very pleased to see more independent stuff going on that enables actors in the state to increase their profile and to actually take leading roles and to, you know, be the drivers of the films.
Right.
So just on that one aspect alone, I think that's very important. And in the future, I think, again, in terms of now as a teacher, I think it's very important that there's work for people to go on to do, mm-hmm. and independence maybe provide an opportunity for that. It's definitely a sector that's worth supporting and developing, mm-hmm. because as you know, a lot of the big features only employ people below the line.
Right.
So good for income, but not necessarily for generating the creators of content.
Right.
And independents provide us with the opportunity to basically be the creators of content. And those are people who are locally based, who are writers, producers, and directors, who are going to stay locally because this is where they want to be. And they're going to generate more employment and more work.
Right. You know, I kind of have this feeling that critical mass is a little ways away, but it's building. Just from the filmmakers that I have seen in the state and some of the things that they're doing, the quality of the work that's being done seems to be increasing. Mm-hmm. The volume of the content seems to be increasing.
Mm-hmm. I think you're spot on. I think hopefully the New Mexico Filmmaker Showcase this year will demonstrate that, mm-hmm. that there's a better threshold in terms of quality, that there's more productions of a professional polished level that are coming out from within the state. And I think that's one of the good things that the film office does is providing a link up, because you know independents, as suggested by the name, tend to work independently, mm-hmm. And that they need to, you know, there needs to be more awareness. And I think there has been a growing kind of connection and awareness, and something like the showcase is a good example of doing that, providing a venue for those independents to come together, see their work. And, you know, that's how people get to crew on different people's projects.
Yeah, not only the showcase, but things like the 48-hour film project. It seems that there is quite a bit of collaboration between the filmmakers in the state. You know, somebody says, oh, I'll work on your film if you work on my film. And just building these teams, like for the 48, kind of is a demonstration of that.
And also, like down in Roswell, you know, where they have something similar to the 48 hours, where there's a number of films that are put together in the space of time. And again, you have a number of different filmmakers, mainly from across the state, who've come together right. to work on those films. So,
have you participated in that one?
You've got a couple of films, I think, that have come out of the Roswell program.
So yeah.
That's kind of good, because again, as you say, you get to meet, share, you know about each other, and that's the way to develop to develop a crew base and a critical mass.
Right. Have you participated in the Roswell, it's the sci-fi shootout?
Yeah, no, I haven't actually. It's a time factor, just in terms of the number of projects that I actually have on the go at the moment and where I am, but I'm very much aware of it. And yeah. I have actually worked with, you know, and taken on board people who've been working on those films to bring into other films that we've been doing in the Santa Fe area.
Right. And there was this this group, they called themselves the Ostakerke, and they went over to Austin, participated in the 48-hour film project over there. And that was kind of a combination of a number of folks from the Albuquerque and New Mexico area.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And, you know, you need to, I mean, I'm always telling the students, you know, that they need to, the clue's in the title, filmmaker. You know, you need to make films. And you need to develop your craft and your skill base. And whenever there's an opportunity, you know, to go and work on a project, to be part of the crew in whatever capacity, that actually just makes you a better filmmaker. Mm-hmm. It's something to be grabbed.
Right. And, of course, one of the important things of in this whole thing is getting the money to make the movies. And where's that going to come from?
In terms of the budgets, raising the budgets for films, yeah. it's always the million-dollar question.
Right.
In terms of that. I mean, I think that like on 20 Ways, we had a mix. It's a satirical film. We had a mix. We had some state money involved, mm-hmm. and we used that money. We did a screening recently. I was explaining to the audience what was really interesting was that we had a small pot of money that came from the state, but then effectively we matched that almost dollar for dollar with funding from outside of the state through a mix of crowdfunding mm-hmm. and through individuals that we got to basically become associate producers involved with the production and to put money in. And then we did a different model here where we also went to a number of the art galleries in town and you know, obviously known for their art and for displaying that, but actually got them involved in the filmmaking process. So a mix of different sources. But for me was really important was that with a small amount of money to start off with, we doubled that, but with money from outside of New Mexico, mm-hmm. and that's even on a short film.
Right. And you just have to be really creative in locating, identifying those funding sources.
Absolutely. And I think for state, county, and city, there is a role to be involved in the future in terms of, especially with independent films and providing access for voices that aren't represented in cinema. You know, I think there's and New Mexico filmmakers, I think there's a role to be looked at there in terms of kickstart funding, you know, that initial fund.
Right.
Once you actually have some money in place, I mean, like
Peter,
we did with the New Visions thing.
Yeah, Peter, we got to take a break here or we'll be right back. And this is New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. New Mexico Filmworks, and I have Peter Kershaw on the phone. Peter, we were talking a little bit about funding and getting films made, and you had mentioned the New Visions program for one of those programs.
That's right. We started 20 Ways with money from New Visions program, and as I say, what was really good about that was the initial money is always the hardest thing to get, which is really important about having a source where there's potential for that, because once you have some money on board, it's often easier to raise the rest of the budget. So there we used the money that we had, which was $20,000 from the state. We used that to bring in, as I say, almost dollar for dollar, the same amount, but from outside of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, and that, for me, that's great to think on a short film. You know, we brought in extra money, which paid about 70 people, I would say, in New Mexico, were involved in the short film and received some form of paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it won't pay their rent for the year.
Yeah, right.
But at least it keeps them here. It means that there's some money coming in. You know, that's very important in terms of that, as well as obviously, you know, the chance to work and network with other people.
Yeah.
That
initial money, the importance of that, does that add legitimacy to the project? So you get other funders.
I think you're spot on with that. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It says. Whether they're funders from within the industry or funders from outside of the industry, it says to them, someone else has said, this is a project that is worth supporting, is worth developing, and therefore I think it encourages other people to come on board. With filmmaking, I find that the first in is always the hardest to get, to get somebody who's going to be the first in with funding of any sort.
Right. And with, in particular with the New Visions program, that also requires, for getting the money, that requires the awardees to return some kind of public service, some kind of community service. What was your arrangement?
Now, firstly, I have to say it was the first time I'd come across funding that worked in that way, and I think it's probably the best model I've ever encountered, but simply because you're effectively being paid for the service that you're giving, and then because you're a filmmaker, everyone therefore knows that money is going to go into the project you want to develop.
Right.
But what I did was I traveled to, I did three different things. I traveled to eight different cities around the state where there were filmmakers based, involved in higher education, and then showed a program of films, short films, that they wouldn't normally have had chance to see, opportunity to see, because these were films from different filmmakers that I'd worked with previously in different parts of Europe. So from Lithuania and from Holland and Hungary and different places like that.
Right.
And then talked about that, their form of storytelling, their vision, you know, that kind of approach to making films. So I did that as one. I then brought in 11 interns to work on 20 Ways, but where each of the departments, sound, camera, production, you know, costume, makeup, everyone had one person that worked in those areas that was an intern. So they got a chance to actually work and you know, on set, live situation, working with a professional crew.
Right. I had never heard of a program quite like that either, the New Visions, and I quite like that idea. And I think the filmmaker gets a little more invested, not only in their own project, but in the community, the state, and brings people along with them.
I know exactly, as you say, and as we said earlier on, what's really important is the connecting up and the networking. And often the work that people put back into the state because of something like New Visions, it gives them an opportunity to connect up with other people, either filmmakers or people who might be interested in film that haven't really considered it before, you know, but just it puts you out there, and I think it's a fantastic thing.
Do you see any other kind of funding model that might present itself? I mean, right now you had mentioned Kickstarter, Indiegogo. That's what a lot of folks are doing, and although it's effective, I think there's kind of a shelf life to it.
I absolutely couldn't agree more. I think that for me, a lot of the most successful Kickstarter or Indiegogo crowdfunding projects, those people already have people who want to put money into the film. You know, it's really hard to reach a new audience because you know, if you think about it, if you type in, you know, put your name of your film into a crowdfunding system, the likelihood that somebody sitting at home saying, "Oh, I've got $1,000 here, I want to invest in a film," and will type in exactly the title of your film with no previous knowledge of it,
right?
It's like winning a lottery. So it's a model that probably it's been going for a couple of years now. And although it's part of the toolkit for raising money, I'm not convinced it's going to be the major future model for filmmaking.
So where will that money come from?
If we knew the answer to that question, then I would be rushing out there with First Rodeo, which is my new feature film. Here's the project you need to put money into. So every independent filmmaker as a producer and director, you're always looking to find, you know, where that new source is. I mean, as I say, we did... Now, I don't think it's necessarily something that could be repeated, but we went to a number of art galleries in town, and we raised funding from them, which, you know, I mean, obviously they're here, they're part of the Santa Fe scene, they're part of the art world, but I don't think they necessarily would want to put money into every film that came along.
Sure.
That was finding a new avenue and a new approach and saying to them, okay, these are the benefits, which is one of the things with crowdfunding, you give perks. These are the benefits that you get for supporting a film. So you're always looking for new avenues and new ways to actually raise the money. I would say it's never about the idea, it's about finding the means to realize the idea. That's the thing that filmmakers have to suss.
Yeah, and I think one of the ways of doing that is just the exposure which these film festivals give our filmmakers.
Absolutely. Yeah, because then people are aware of that there are, I mean, Santa Fe Independent Film Festival is running a New Mexican based filmmakers block of short films, and I think a few others. I think Albuquerque did the same, and White Sands maybe as well. So it's kind of good to have that audience awareness that there are films being made in the state that aren't just the big blockbusters.
Right, right. Do you think we could become oversaturated or saturated with film festivals? Do you think there could be too many?
Well, that's a part of the big discussion, because obviously what's going on at the moment with, you know, the internet and a way of global distribution and the future in terms of getting your films out to audiences, because every filmmaker wants to be able to show their work, tell their stories to a wider audience. But I think that we're very lucky in New Mexico in that there are a number of festivals, but they're kind of, I think they're pretty good festivals. You know, I really like the Taos Festival and Albuquerque and Santa Fe. You know, there's a small number, but a key number of festivals. You just need to make sure there isn't one on every street corner.
Yeah, and not overlapping, I would think.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And each one, you know, has to find its own, what it brings to the market that's slightly different.
Right.
You know, like Taos Shorts just deals with short films. So if you're making features, that isn't a festival for you. You know, that's kind of good. That just as long as they have a focus to why and what's their purpose.
Each one being unique, right?
Indeed.
Peter, I really appreciate you being on the show today. Good luck at the Independent Film Festival. I'm looking forward to seeing your film again at the New Mexico Filmmakers Showcase.
I'm looking forward to playing it.
All right. Thanks very much, Peter.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And just to mention that the New Mexico Filmmakers Showcase will be at the Guild Cinema in Albuquerque, October 12th to the 14th. Hope you can all come down. There's going to be a Meet the Filmmakers reception at LaRue Ni Ha Ti Cafe on Friday, October 12th from 5 to 6:30. Hope you can make that as well. And I'm looking forward to meeting a bunch of the new filmmakers. You've been listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and thanks for listening.